Believing in Tomorrow by Rita Bradshaw. Read by Colleen Prendergast. Part 1. The Escape. 1900. Chapter 1.
So what are you going to do tonight then? You coming with us, or what? The Michaelmas Fair's only here once a year, Mull.
Molly Mackenzie looked at the group of girls, her big blue eyes fastening on the one who'd spoken, her best friend, Fanny Howard. Softly, she said,
You know I want to. It isn't that. It's him.
The others knew who Molly meant. Him, her dar, Josiah Mackenzie. Molly was terrified of him. Everyone was. A tall, muscled man with thick black hair and hard eyes the colour of pewter, Josiah was well known for his quick temper and penchant for settling even the mildest of disputes with his fists. No one, not even the blacksmith in the next village, who was a huge man with hands the size of cannonballs, got into an argument with Josiah. At harvest time, when all the farm workers for miles got together in a gang and made a contract with each farmer to be paid a lump sum based on an agreed price per acre, rather than the usual weekly wage, it was an accepted fact that Josiah acted as the gaffer. There was an innate viciousness about him, something primal that made every man, woman, and child anxious not to cross him. Fanny, her voice scarcely above a whisper, drew closer to Molly.
He wouldn't know, lass. I heard me da telling me ma'am that now the harvest's in, Farmer Roach has invited all the men of the farm for a drink and bite to eat tonight. Me ma'am's right put out. She thinks the women and bairns should have been invited too. I mean, we do our bit, same as the men, don't we? She added, raising her voice as she included the other girls.
Everyone nodded. For 8 to 9 months of the year, every available woman and child was pressed into service, alongside the men in the fields, working on the local farms, scattered on the outskirts of Newcastle and Gateshead and Sunderland. On the whole, whether the farms were large or small, there were few cottages attached to them. The farmers relied on labour from the villages and hamlets that stretched along the country lanes and highways. Up at earliest dawn, whole families would make their way to their designated farm in all weathers, where they would divide into groups, the men to their work, and the women and children to theirs. A few women and older girls would be fortunate enough to be taken in the dairy on the larger farms, under the instruction of the farmer's wife, but most would work in the fields, pulling weeds, lifting potatoes and other crops, topping beets, hoeing, stone-picking, clod-beating, turning hay, or whatever the season demanded would be their lot. Most of the work involved continual stooping or kneeling on damp soil, and from a toddler, Molly could remember regularly getting soaked to the waist when hand-weeding a standing crop of corn. In the winter, they left home in the dark and returned in the dark, 6 days a week. When work was available, that was. Fanny, her voice low, went on,
Me ma'am says that farmers like old Roach think more of their dogs and horses than they do the women and bairns who work their fields. Scum to them, we are.
The group nodded in silent agreement. They knew it to be true, but it was dangerous to voice such sentiments. The farmers had the whip hand. Every penny they earned was needed at home to supplement the wages of the menfolk, and it could mean the difference between food being on the table or going hungry. At 11 years of age, Molly and Fanny were the oldest in the little group of friends, the youngest being Bertha, a red-cheeked child of 7 who had a continually dripping nose. None of them could read or write, but then no one in their hamlet of 10 cottages situated a few miles west of Wrighton could. Schools were attended by farmers' children and those who didn't live hand to mouth. This was never questioned. It was how things were.
So, Fanny returned to the matter in hand. You'd be home afore your dar gets back, lass. Me ma'am says they'll all be drinking and making merry till the early hours if there's free beer going.
Mrs. Howard might be right, but what if she wasn't? Molly asked.